Hydrazin. If you didn't know what it was and you heard it about, you'd think it was a type of raisin that you could eat. But indeed, knowing these podcasts, it's another chemical, and you knowing that my love of nitrogen at the moment, it's another nitrogen chemical. It's a fantastic little chemical. It's a small one, but it's the basis of some pretty interesting stuff that we use it for. We produce a fair quantity of it on Earth, and we use it for the bubbles in our foaming cups. So if you pick up a foam cup of old and have your coffee in it, that foam there has the bubbles are courtesy of hydrazin. So it's not frothed in or dissolved in, it's a decomposition of this molecule that we're going to talk about. It's also a fantastic dream anti-rust agent, probably a bit neurotoxic, or not neurotoxic, a bit heavy to accept. It smells of ammonia. I've never smelt it, but I can well imagine it smelling of ammonium. But the fantastic thing is that if you wash it over rust, it's such an anti-rust agent that it's so eager to get the oxygen out that it reforms the original metal back on your component. Probably not in the same way, in the same strength, but it just puts the metal back. And yeah, it's a great thing if you've got sort of rust contaminating something, you can pour this through and it'll just clean up all the rust and rebuild your metal, your power station, something like that. And it's also used in rockets. Obviously, the Germans liked it, using all their fantastic, bizarre rockets they had in World War II, but also nowadays in guidance system for satellites. It's the nice sort of liquid rocket fuel that you can pump through, just like mixing liquids in a film, the age-old film laboratories. I don't know if you can remember the old film laboratories, these fantastic machines with the toners, the liquid toners, and the little things which would deliver the toner into make the perfect film. These fantastic machines, you'd put in the negatives at one end and out would pop off this huge machine, these pictures, these Polaroid pictures, I suppose that's what they'd be called. But that sort of thing, that sort of chemical handling, can just mix two chemicals together. They explode in a fantastic high impulse rocket. And in fact, you want to, if you're going to pay for so many $1 million a kilogram to actually put some fuel up there, you want it the very, very best and the most stable one. And this hydrazin is actually a fantastic chemical. This is Peter Hill Explains, and I've been going through tours of chemicals. It's part of my cardiac rehab to improve my cognitive recall and discussion of things, to improve my ability to paint pictures in your head and take you through. Now, where I first got into this is melatonin. I was reading about sleep, and I decided I'd have a look at that molecule, and it was a fantastic molecule. It had a pre-roll in it, which is a five-membered ring of four carbons and a nitrogen, and knowing the delocalized electrons in that, and the way that it hooked onto a benzene, which had delocalized electrons, I just really appreciated the fact that it was a hard, flat molecule, the melatonin. This is your sleep dust, which you produce every night. When they say 90-90 lights off, it's time to start producing your melatonin to send the rest of your body to sleep. But that particular molecule got me fascinated, and then when I fell in love with that, it was, if the pipe bombs weren't great enough to scream and shout about it, it was, if you got four and five pyrroles together in a loop, and with things hanging off that, you'd make a heme molecule. And the fact that the heme molecule is such a fantastic little molecule you use in your blood, you've got heaps of heme molecules. So in your hemoglobin, there's heaps of heme molecules. I don't know how many. And then the hemoglobins are packed around inside your red blood cell. So inside your red blood cell, just to get you heaps of heme molecules, the hemoglobin, and inside the hemoglobin are the heme molecules. It's sort of again a Russian doll story. So there's a fair amount of oxygen capacity uptake inside your red blood cells due to this fabulous nitrogen compound, which is, thank goodness, carbon dioxide sensitive. So if you're cell in the end of your toe is breathing out a lot of carbon dioxide. Sorry for that bird commenting in the middle of my podcast. If your cells are producing heaps of carbon dioxide, the hemoglobin, which is holding its oxygen, says, oh, and releases its oxygen, and another part of the blood takes the carbon dioxide away. And in this place, your body, when you breathe in, the blood can actually deliver oxygen to where it's been used the most, and it figures out that if it's producing lots of carbon dioxide, it probably needs lots of oxygen. Beautiful thing to see, and beautiful thing to see the actual molecules of it. You want to go through, if you want to go through something which is nitrogen-y, it's lots of nitrogen, it's got the AZ front for it, an iod, it's an AZ, a nitrogen minus ion, and that's sodium azide. So azide, we're hydrazine, A-Z-I-N-E, which, so the I-D-E is the iron, it's N3 minus, a fantastic, stereo is the word for it, it's an isomeric forms of getting the actual bonds to it, but that is some amazing molecule, and it's the stuff of airbags, and I've done a podcast on this, but this is more a podcast getting back to hydrazine. So what is it? Well, it's, if you can imagine, two ammonia, and so I can in my head, but an ammonia is a nitrogen and three hydrogens, and the extra electrons in a big bulb up the top. So if you imagine nitrogen, it's a bit like a stamp. The electrons at the top is the handle, the body is the nitrogen, and there's three prongs at the bottom for nitrogen. That's the best way that I can describe it. Of course, this is fantastic. So if you can imagine that, well, could I push the electrons through and pop it the other way? In fact, that's what actually happens with nitrogen. Those electrons can pop in and above, below that thing, and it can actually flip over, and that's the actual basis of AMAZE. I'm just channeling knowledge that I have, so, but we're going to do a bit more with it. We're going to take a hydrogen off one ammonia and a hydrogen off the other ammonia and stick those two ammonia together to get the following molecule, H2N2H2 or H4N2. It's a two hydrogens stuck to a nitrogen, stuck to a nitrogen, stuck to a hydrogen. So it's an ammonia which has been had the hydrogen sucked out of it. And how would you do that in real life? Well, you get some ammonia and you stick raw sodium in, you get sodium amide, which is amine or no, amide, I think it is. Yeah, amide. That's sodium NH2. We don't want that. So you add sodium hydroxide in with it, and the sodium hydroxide wants to grab the hydrogen so strongly. It's a stronger base than the ammonia, so it grabs the hydrogen off it and produces water plus this H4 and there you have a large, very useful chemical. And if you mix it in with the styrene, you can actually produce the gas in foamed plastics. So these foamed light plastics have this chemical in. There's other ones where the polymerization casts off for carbon dioxide and produces carbon dioxide, but you can produce foam plastic. So this way is a very important thing. As a chemical, it's important in pharmaceuticals and as a chemical precursor. But it's also important just as a chemical by itself, because you can wash it down metal pipes and remove the rust, not by lifting off and dissolving the rust, but by removing the oxygen and the water from the rust, which redeposits the metal. So it's a more, I suppose, reactive metal. It's like putting sodium or something down a metal, and the rust gets, reduced. The metal gets oxidized, the oxidized metal gets reduced, and it's taken away. Then you can actually put this inside rockets, and it can heat up and decompose. And so this is the major fuel of Russian rockets. And so the Russian rockets, which go up over some sort of stand, actually belch out large amounts of this chemical. And so this chemical is quite toxic. You can imagine it's not necessarily all that good for the environment, these rockets being powered by this particular chemical, but it's the chemical of choice for the Russian Soyuz rockets. And the actual two fuels they put together is H4N2, and add it with I've forgotten the actual name for it. It's a it's a tetranitrate or something like that. I think that might be the name for it, but its formula is N2O4. So what happens is that if you just have your normal smog, that's NO2, and you chill it down, as it chills down, it will actually chill down and form this liquid. So you can actually, under pressure, NO2, and cool enough, produce this other liquid. And you mix these two together, and they burn explosively at high impulse. So you can just basically have a small little rocket thruster, and two little pipes go in, and the pipes just bleed, squirt these two chemicals together. They will then explode explosively, decomposing. So, so hydroazine will decompose by itself into, let's see, a nitrogen and an ammonia. So what it'll do is react, ripping a nitrogen will bind to itself, and then the ammonia in the heat can decompose to nitrogen and hydrogen. That's a reverse reaction. It's an endothermic reaction, but the end result is that it can produce hydrogen gas and nitrogen. And then again, if you introduce the oxygen in the form of N2O4, the two come together to produce a fairly powerful rocket fuel. So that's really refers to a sort of the simplest nitrogen compound. It's the nitrogen analog, I think, of, for me, for ethane. Ethane has got three hydrogens, a carbon, and three hydrogens. This has got two hydrogens, a nitrogen, and two nitrogens. It's a very different type of compound, and very interesting to think about. This is a nice short Peter Hill Explains, where I sort of introduce you to a molecule, and I just say, if you're really interested in it, read it up. But you may as well, if you're learning, focusing on carbon chemistry, there's also sort of another stream of nitrogen chemistry. And nitrogen chemistry is very much, if you want to build explosives, it's a very interesting thing to see. Thanks for listening. This is Peter Hill Explains. Keep on thinking, doing, and teaching science.